This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel. Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Leanne Mangrum? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Leanne Smith Mangrum was born in Tennessee on November 19, 1967. In the mid-1980s, she met a man named Terry Mangrum. His family owned a marble business, and they were financially successful. Leanne and Terry married in 1987 and lived in Fairview, Tennessee. This is about 30 miles southwest of Nashville. The couple had a son named Terry Jr. and a daughter named Alicia. Leanne and Terry Sr. divorced in 1999. Leanne was awarded primary custody of her children and moved to Nashville. Terry Sr. remained in Fairview and moved on with his life. He started dating a woman named Kimberly. They married in 2000 and would go on to have a daughter. Leanne struggled with her use of substances and was not caring for her children effectively. Terry Sr. petitioned for custody of his children, and he was successful. Terry Jr. and Alicia moved to Fairview, Tennessee, and lived with him and Kimberly. Eventually, Leanne moved close to where Terry Sr. lived in order to be near her children. She was trying to remain sober in order to get custody back. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On September 8, 2002, at about 3:30 p.m., a fisherman called the police after finding a partially submerged Jeep Cherokee and a body in Turnbull Creek. Investigators identified the body as 34-year-old Leanne Mangrum. Here's what the police found during the course of their investigation. There were bruises on Leanne's body, including on her back. An autopsy revealed that she had been beaten, but died of drowning. There was clonopin in her system. The windows of her vehicle were broken out. Leanne had called her mother around 9 p.m. the night before from a bar. She had used a phone owned by a friend of hers named Bob. Leanne spoke to her mother for a few minutes. At 5:20 a.m., Leanne's mother received a call from Leanne's phone. When she answered, the caller said something like, "Mama, please help me, I'm scared." The call disconnected after this. Her mother said that the caller's voice was unfamiliar. It was definitely not Leanne. The police tracked down Leanne's friend, Bob, who said that he was with Leanne at a bar the night before. She left alone in her Jeep. The police determined that Bob had nothing to do with the murder. He was cleared as a potential suspect. When the police visited Leanne's trailer, they found that it had been burglarized and ransacked. They found blood, a broken window, fingerprints, a palm print, and a cigarette butt with lipstick on it. The police interviewed Terry Sr., Kimberly, and Leanne's two children. The children did not seem emotional when talking about their mother's death. The police thought this response was peculiar. Terry Sr. told the police that in 2001, he heard that Leanne was using drugs and neglecting the children. This is why he filed for custody. Both Terry Sr. and Kimberly said that Leanne had come by their residence the night before, sometime around midnight. She was accompanied by a mysterious tall man with salt and pepper hair. Leanne was looking for drugs, so Kimberly gave her a clonopin pill. Kimberly also believed that Leanne may have taken an entire bottle of clonopin from her. Investigators believe that the timing of Leanne's death seemed suspicious. She died one day before the court was going to review her motion to regain custody. The police received the lab results from Leanne's trailer. The blood and the fingerprints matched Terry Jr. The palm print matched Alicia, and the DNA from the cigarette butt matched Kimberly. When the police collected Kimberly's DNA, but before they tested the cigarette, she told them about how she had visited Leanne's trailer and smoked cigarettes there. Kimberly's story to the police was unprompted. She appeared to be experiencing a pending arrest memory restoration event. The police arrested all four members of the family, including Terry Sr., even though nothing tied him to the trailer. Terry Sr. denied being involved in the murder. Kimberly implicated Terry Jr. and mentioned a mysterious note that Alicia had found. The police spoke to Alicia about this note. She said that she found the note in her backpack. The note contained her brother's handwriting. It was dated February 4, 2004. The note read, quote, "I, Terry W. Mangrum, admit to the murder of Lee Ann Mangrum Smith. She was my mother, if you want to call her that. I'm writing this because the TBI came and took the cigarette butt of my stepmother and a sample of her DNA," unquote. The police spoke to Terry Jr. Here is the story he supplied to them about what happened to his mother, Leanne. On the night she was murdered, he met her near the creek. They entered into an argument. Terry Jr. accidentally rolled his mother's Jeep into the water, and she died as a result. Terry Jr.'s story did not account for the bruises on Leanne's body or the fact that the windows of her vehicle were broken. All four of the family members were released on bail. The state decided to offer Alicia immunity in order to find out her story. She said that Kimberly had mistreated her and her brother and orchestrated Leanne's murder. Faced with his sister's statement, Terry Jr. changed his story and implicated Kimberly in the murder. Here is the new story that Terry Jr. supplied to the police. During the early morning hours of September 8, 2002, while Terry Sr. was sleeping, Kimberly woke up 15-year-old Terry Jr. and 11-year-old Alicia. Kimberly retrieved a baseball bat, and they went over to Leanne's trailer in Kimberly's Ford Mustang. Leanne was not home, so Kimberly started to drive away. At this point, Leanne passed Kimberly in the Jeep. Kimberly turned around, followed Leanne home, and pulled into the driveway behind the Jeep. She yelled at Leanne, broke the windows of the Jeep with a baseball bat, pulled Leanne out of the Jeep, and struck her multiple times with the baseball bat. Leanne was rendered unconscious during this attack. After this, Kimberly ordered Terry Jr. to strike his mother with a piece of wood. Kimberly directed her stepchildren to put Leanne back in the Jeep. Terry Jr. was ordered to climb into the driver's seat. Kimberly drove to Turnbull Creek as Terry Jr. followed her. After arriving, Kimberly put Klonopin pills in Leanne's mouth and rolled her body into the creek. Kimberly produced a knife and forced Terry Jr. to put his foot on Leanne and drown her in the creek. Kimberly then drove Leanne's Jeep into the creek. At this point, they returned to Leanne's trailer, where Kimberly threatened her stepchildren with a knife so they would ransack the trailer. Kimberly forced Alicia to call Leanne's mother using Leanne's phone and pretend to be Leanne. Terry Jr. said that he wrote the confession note because Kimberly threatened to kill his father and his sister if he refused.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Kimberly was charged with first-degree murder and went to trial in August 2005. She was convicted and sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. She is eligible to be released in 2058 at the age of 94. Terry Jr. pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to 8 years. He was released in 2011. Terry Sr. pleaded guilty to accessory after the fact. He was sentenced to 1 year of probation. Alicia and her younger sister went to live with grandparents. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. The state argued that Kimberly was obsessed with Leanne and had two motives to commit the murder. The first motive, Kimberly was worried that Terry Sr. would reunite with Leanne and Kimberly would be denied her share of his family's marble business. Put another way, Kimberly was worried about losing her marbles. The second motive, Leanne was one day away from potentially regaining custody. Kimberly did not want that to happen. Item number two, Kimberly had allegedly mistreated Terry Jr. and Alicia, both before and after the murder. For example,
Terry Jr. claimed that Kimberly cut, burned, and stabbed him. She attacked him with a cattle prod, and Kimberly would threaten him and his sister, claiming she had connections to biker gang members who would kill them if they fell out of line. It seems clear that Kimberly viewed her stepchildren as objects. She forced Terry Jr. to assist in the homicide of his mother and to confess to the crime. Kimberly may have taken pleasure in using Terry Jr. against his mother. It was the ultimate sign of victory for Kimberly. It was proof that she had complete control of the situation. The family was now 100% hers. Kimberly appeared to be sadistic, impulsive, irresponsible, aggressive, self-centered, and manipulative. She lacked empathy and remorse. Item number 3. It seems pretty clear that Kimberly deserved a life sentence, and that immunity was the right choice for Alicia, given her age. But what about the punishment for Terry Jr.? As I mentioned, he was convicted of second-degree murder and spent time in prison. Some people look at this and think that Terry Jr. escaped responsibility for drowning his mother in a creek. Other people believe that he should have never been convicted because he was acting under duress. Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that Terry Jr. should have been harshly punished, starting with the factors that support this idea. Terry Jr. actively participated in the murder of his mother, Leanne. He struck her with a piece of wood and drowned her. During the homicide, Terry had many opportunities to change the outcome. For example, at one point, he was following Kimberly's Mustang in his mother's Jeep. Leanne was in the Jeep with him. Why didn't Terry simply drive away? He could have gone to a hospital or to a police station. When Kimberly was beating Leanne with a baseball bat, Terry Jr. could have climbed in the Mustang and drove away. He also could have come up behind Kimberly and struck her with the piece of wood that was in his possession. It is reasonable to believe that, even at age 15, Terry was physically stronger than Kimberly. He could have simply overpowered her at almost any point during the attack. Terry Jr. participated in the burglary of his mother's trailer after the lethal attack. Even if Terry Jr. was too frightened to defend his mother's life, he could have gone to the authorities after the murder. Eventually, the police came to him, but he did not tell them the truth about what happened, at least not initially. Now moving to the factors that contradict the idea that Terry Jr. should have been punished harshly. Terry Jr. had no criminal history. He has expressed remorse for his behavior. Many 15-year-olds would be inclined to follow the instructions of a stepmother. There is a fairly significant power differential there. Terry Jr. had to consider more than just his own safety. He was also concerned about his sister and father. Kimberly could have harmed them as well. She threatened to harm them. Terry Jr. had been threatened and physically attacked by Kimberly. From his point of view, she probably seemed extremely powerful and maybe even invincible. After she beat his mother with a baseball bat, maybe he thought she would do the same thing to him. Kimberly was particularly sadistic, violent, and manipulative. She exerted a great deal of control over Terry Jr. and his sister. The confession note that Terry Jr. wrote could be thought of as working in his favor because it documents how manipulative Kimberly was. It's clear that Kimberly had him write this note so she could escape responsibility for the murder. When considering all the evidence, how would I evaluate the punishment that Terry Jr. received? This is a challenging case. It seems clear that Terry Jr. would not have been involved in this crime without Kimberly's influence, and he was being coerced. But at the same time, his actions were heinous, and he had plenty of opportunities to seek assistance. There is a limit to what society can accept as far as excuses for murder. I think that his punishment was fair. He is a convicted murderer and went to prison for a while, but he did not serve anywhere near the amount of time that most murderers would under those circumstances. I think the state did the best they could to achieve justice in this case. Now moving to my final thoughts. In custody disputes, one parental figure will often turn children against another parental figure. This is called parental alienation. Kimberly was apparently unsatisfied with how destructive this could be and elevated it to a new and terrifying level. This case highlights the power of intimidation and control. Kimberly was obsessed with Leanne. She allowed herself to get extremely angry. Kimberly carried out a simplistic and straightforward attack with a baseball bat and almost managed to escape responsibility due to the control she had over her stepchildren. If Kimberly had not orchestrated the burglary after the murder, she may have never been caught. Kimberly's motive for that burglary was greed. She wanted to steal Leanne's property. She had already taken her life and her children, but Kimberly wanted more from Leanne. Kimberly was as cold as marble.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Hey, hast du heute Nacht gut geschlafen? Und deine Haut auch? Stell dir vor, du erlebst den HK-Effekt. Deine Wäsche riecht einfach frisch, ganz ohne chemische Duftwolke. Und deine Haut atmet auf. Beim Putzen musst du nicht husten, sondern kannst einfach durchatmen. Das ist der Moment, in dem du spürst, sauber geht auch anders. Mit HK. Unbedenklich, hautfreundlich und dennoch wirksam. Probiere den HK-Effekt für Sauberkeit, die sich gut anfühlt. Jetzt entdecken auf hk.com.